निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाधृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि. Namaskaram to all of you. Morning, we had the session on these two divergent viewpoints mingling in our minds and deceiving us. The one is the seeking from God. The tendency to seek from God, camouflaging itself and appearing to us as if we are seeking God. So the necessity to filter out the seeking and converting or transforming the seeking from God into seeking God Himself. For the mistaken identity or the misplaced priority may result in wasted efforts. Lifelong we may be thinking we are seeking God, and yet ultimately we will end up seeking many things from God, and there may be a psychological delusion slowly building up inside. And in spite of all the fulfillments materially, we may find that we didn't reach the goal. And then inside the heart of our own hearts, we will find a sense of lacking. Though what we sought from God or prayed to God to give us, we would have got all of it. But the lingering effect of the ideal, which we wrongly prioritized as seeking from God, will leave the effect of disappointment in the mind without our knowledge. That's why even in the material world we will find people going for doctor's degree, engineer's degree, and they end up in different professions. I know about a doctor who went for MBBS course, started practicing as a doctor for 2-3 years and slowly shifted to real estate business. And he was a flourishing builder. I asked, how did you turn to this business? You were originally a man of medical profession. Swamiji, I couldn't find job satisfaction there. Then I told him, why did you seek that profession? I never sought it. Parents forced me to go for MBBS. So the innate tendency, had he not shifted to the builder's profession, it would have remained unfulfilled, and that gnawing disappointment would have continued all along his life in spite of his being a successful doctor. Something lacking inside, because the need in the heart was not fulfilled. So projecting an ideal like seeking God, we should keep it carefully protected from the adulteration and corruption. It should not get mixed and mingled with seeking from God. That was the point we were discussing. And the benefit in filtering out, refining the seeking, was that once the mind is very clear, our mind becomes clear about what it wants, it gathers the energy. Really, if we want, it is a mysterious law of nature that if we really want intensely in the mind and in the heart, the whole personality of ours goes behind to achieve it. When a part of the personality doesn't go behind it, then we will find that achievement doesn't get the concentrated effort. For that concentrated effort, there must be unification of the ideals or the aspirations into one single, one-pointed ideal, then it becomes God-pointed search. And we gave the example of Sri Ramakrishna, how a thread, when it is to be put into the eye of the needle, if the thread has got many ends, it will not enter. Then we have to make it one-pointed. We mostly confuse this one-pointed tendency as a part of the mind concentrating on objects. Actually, according to Patanjali, by concentration, he means the concentrated mind. It is not that the mind is practicing concentration. The totality of the mind will be always in a one-pointed condition. But most of the time we forget it and we think that during meditation the mind must be one-pointed. Are doing some important things, so the mind should be one-pointed. But in the Ramakrishna mission ideology, it is not part-time one-pointedness or one-pointed tendency of the mind for a particular job, because we don't have different sections of the mind. It is one single mind constantly operating. Patanjali says it is one-pointed tendency of the mind. The mind must become one-pointed throughout the day. That was the mind Swamiji had, Sri Ramakrishna had. I think I am putting it sufficiently clear. The mind will be one-pointed throughout the day for every work. So the spiritual and the secular distinction vanishes. In our case, we think when we are doing japam, meditation or listening to talks, we must be one-pointed. And when we go to the kitchen or when we go to the office, that much of concentration is not needed. So that is using concentration as a part-time technique. But that doesn't make the mind one-pointed, because the other times when we don't focus the mind, it develops a tendency to remain scattered. So Patanjali says there are different types of mind. One is a scattered mind. And another is the closed mind. Kshipta, vikshipta, mooda, niruddha, like that he classifies, ekagrata. So ekagrata mind, it is one of the state that the whole mind becomes one-pointed. And when that can come to us, and if it comes to us now immediately, it will shatter our nerves. Because the underlying desires in the subconscious will give such a pull that the concentrated mind will go towards God, and the other pull will tear our personality and we may go mad. But when the mind becomes one-pointed, the whole personality becomes unified. Different parts of the personality becomes one single homogeneous flow. So the contradiction ceases to exist in our mind. The fact that we are struggling to focus the mind is an indication that there are two opposing forces. We sit for meditation with the aim of thinking about God, and irrepressibly things other than God comes at that time. But for a mind which has become one-pointed, ekagrata avastha, for them the mind remains constantly one-pointed. They have achieved to that state of one-pointedness, and from that one-pointed state they will go to the niruddha avastha. The mind becomes totally controlled and subdued, where the chitta vrittis do not come. Sri Ramakrishna had that mind. For him, when necessary, he will think thoughts. Otherwise, he is always in that state. Not only in that state, for him, he had to bring the mind down to this state consciously and voluntarily. Raman Maharshi says, once you understand and the mind becomes concentrated and you achieve samadhi and you get established in the self, you will find thinking thought becomes a laborious process. You will understand that staying quietly is so beautiful and is such a state of repose, thinking thought will be a nuisance. You will not feel like thinking thoughts, thoughts will not come. And if at all it will come in the mind, it will appear as if in the long distance something is happening and you are not connected to it. Thinking thought, it becomes a laborious thing. Now stopping the thought is becoming a laborious thing for us because the mind is not getting concentrated. It is not a question of getting concentrated. It will always be in the state of concentrated tendency will develop. And when that mind does work, every work will shine with the effect of concentration. And the work will be done very speedily. That is why Sri Ramakrishna, Sharada Devi, she could do 1 lakh of japam. How she could do? The mind is so concentrated, it at tremendous speed. But for us, between two Ishta Mantra japam, hundreds of thoughts are crossing. But for her, no thoughts will cross. Constantly, speedily, the Nama Japa will be going on. So the time becomes less. So that concentrated effort or the concentrated state of the mind is the beginning of our spiritual inquiry. That is what we understood, concluded in the morning. And once that concentrated tendency of the mind develops, it will bear its effect on human relations, relation with our work, and relation with the things of the world surrounding us, like our room, our country, our society, our office, our body, our thought, words, speech. Everything will change with the mind in a focused state of existence. And that mind, when it starts proceeding towards the deity, two divergent tendencies take place. And they become the spiritual approaches for seeking God. One is the resigning tendency, feminine in nature. The other one is reigning tendency, ruling tendency, and is masculine in nature. And through these two approaches, when the effort starts, and the divine grace responds to it, that becomes the junction where the spiritual realization bears fruit. So spiritual realization is a junction where the human effort and the divine grace, they come and mingle and merge. And this human effort has got different shades to it, these two being the prominent shades. One is the effort on the part of the devotee or the sadhaka, and the other is the expectation on the part of the devotee for God to do everything. In one person or in one particular path, he does everything needful and is waiting for the God to respond. And in the other person or in the other approach, he doesn't do anything but is waiting for God to come and do all the thing that is needful. Where the devotee does everything needful and is waiting for the God to respond, that is called the Markata Nyaya. Markata means monkey. The monkey approach, it's not only in our religion but in different ways this expression finds its place even in the Christian religions. The monkey religion and the cat religion, they call it. Whereas in the other, one waits for God to come and do the needful. Whatever is to be done, let God do it. And that is the Marjara Nyaya, the kitten approach. Nyaya means it's an equation or a formula, a process or a technique which is adopted to achieve the desired end. So these two seemingly divergent and diametrically opposite paths, they are followed in the life, called as Marjara Nyaya and the Markata Nyaya. The cat approach and the monkey approach. Question comes whether we are going to select the approach and follow it, or should our tendency naturally take the course? We can do both. But when we select, there is a possibility that there is an imposing of artificiality in the approach. As per the nature, we follow the tendencies. So we have to find out in our genes or in the DNA whether there is a kitten psychology or the monkey child psychology, which is hidden in our DNA. And we find it, whether people follow religion or not. So one is trying to conquer, another is waiting for the thing to come and reach him. One is waiting to respond, another is responding and is waiting for the results to come. As we go on discussing, and as different religious sects have taken this path, giving a particular stress to particular approach, it has somehow become convinced or become impressed, got impressed in our mind that this particular religion follows cat path and the other religion follows monkey child's path. Mostly they say sharanas, where sharanagati, prapatti, this is more stress. Whereas in the Shaiva religion they say, do everything that is to be done. Do not trouble the God. Our beloved should not be troubled. You do everything. By sadhana you will get siddhi. Theoretically, verbally, both these two approaches seem to be opposite. But the great Samanvayacharya, Sri Ramakrishna, the great embodiment of Samanvaya harmony in his life, we find all these paths, they get a place in his life, enter his sadhana, and ultimately they all come out merging themselves into one unified approach to God and taking help as and when and wherever it is possible and combining the whole avenues to realize God. Nothing is segregated or left out. Nothing is preferred. Everything is taken into the fold. So Sri Ramakrishna synthesizes in his life the Marjara Nyaya as well as the Markata Nyaya. So we are not forced to take up the Vaishnava approach nor the Shaiva approach. We take Shivanarayana approach. So the combination of the human effort and the divine grace, giving due place to both, importance to both, is what Sri Ramakrishna stresses. Because both of them have got their own risks and dangers. Both have got their own plus and minus points. And theoretically, when we express it verbally, both look attractive and sometimes they look very difficult also. In the Marjara Nyaya, it looks very simple theoretically. Just stay where you are. Mother will come, the mother cat comes and takes you and it will put you where it wants. It's quite simple, is it not? Don't do anything. And some of the devotees, they say, we are all following Sri Ramakrishna's kitten example. Then I told, the whole hall will be filled with meow meow sound. It's very difficult. Theoretically, how easy it is to tell that we follow the kitten path of Sri Ramakrishna. Stay as it is, be comfortable. Don't break your head. Don't trouble yourself with all those things. Thakur will do whatever is needed. Divine Mother will do whatever is needed. But if you check, analyze your inner workings of the mind, the tendency to do something, that is there in the mind. The karta, the doer, I am the doer feeling is there in the mind. Karta aham. So long as karta is there, karma must be there. Without karma, there is no karta. We all want to do, achieve aspirations, goals. Everything is present in our mind, is it not? Simply glibly telling that I am like a kitten, and Sri Ramakrishna told, mother kitten will come and place the kitten wherever it wants. But when the life situations will unfold before us, then we start questioning God Himself. Oh Lord, why did you do this to me? That to me? One man told, of all the people in the world, why God this to me? I had totally surrendered to Him. I told, when? No, already long before. If you had already surrendered, why do you question God now? Have you broken the contract? So we break the contract now and then, and that is a danger in our nature. Easy to talk. Then he starts doing certain things, makes efforts, and then says, God is very cruel, he doesn't bother about what effort I am putting forth. I told you, you are following the kitten path, is it not? So the kitten catch, that's a very special catch, and till we get a taste of the catch of God, a kitten when it catches the rat, there's a different technique of catching the rat. No, the cat when it catches the rat, the cat's catch of the rat is totally different. But when the cat catches the kitten, that has got a different touch. But how are we going to understand that? There's a beautiful story depicting this. How human mind, frail as it is, constantly misinterpreting God's actions and His benevolent grace on us. It's a Christian story. A man died and he went to heaven, and the angel showed the journey of his life. And he found that at a particular period of his life, two footsteps were found. Two persons' footsteps. And angel says, did you see those footsteps, two persons' footsteps? Yes. And one is your footstep, the other one is God. He was always with you. And then after a particular period, there are only single footstep, one man's footstep. And suddenly bursts up, that was the time when I had the greatest trouble in my life. And after some time again, the second set of footsteps also appear. Again the angel says, that second one is God's. Then the man shouts, oh, God forsake me when I was in the most dangerous time. And the angel patted him and told, those are not your footsteps. God carried you on His shoulder. Those are all God's steps, not your steps. That is why you carried on throughout your life. Otherwise, how did you come to this state? So the misinterpretation is constantly lingering behind us, clouded with selfishness, with our own desires. We always try to interpret the intelligence of God, the confused mind interpreting a clear mind. Ours is a horse vision. We can see only this much, like the horse having the blinkers. It cannot have a farsightedness. It cannot see what is happening on the right and left. It can see what is in front of it and up to a particular distance. But God is Sarvajna. He can see everything. And that man's knowledge is interpreted by a fool. Fool interpreting God's intelligence, how difficult it is. So always we end up at the wrong end. So in efforts, when we say we make the kitten's path as our path, we have to be very, very sincere. Because kitten never argues with its mother. Is it not? Kitten never chooses. We choose, is it not? Kitten's life is a choiceless awareness. Don't make choice. If you have choices, raga, dvesha, preferences and prejudices, then following kitten's path, appearing very easy theoretically, will not be easy, and contradictions will set in our life. We will tell we have already resigned, but when the experiences of life will come, we will find we are fuming, fretting, fighting, shouting, cursing God Himself. But you have to understand that it is not easy to be kitten also. One is, wherever the mother cat will keep, we have to be there without murmuring. And whatever happens, it is all will of the Lord. Where the surrender takes place total resignation. Tasma tvameva sharanam mama deena bandho. No questions, no arguments, no brooding. Just leave it, that's all. But leaving the hold is a great difficult task. Everybody tightly holds. And mother cat also does not carry the kitten, simply. Sri Ramakrishna says, so long as the child is engaged with the toys, mother never comes and lifts the kitten or the child. Is it not? Then the child suddenly remembers, oh, it's already evening, 5:36. Then throws the dolls away. And Sri Ramakrishna enacts, beating his legs and hands on the floor, weeping, wailing and loudly crying. And tears flow through his cheek in onto the ground. And Sri Ramakrishna says, like this, Dakar Moton Dakile, Shyama Maki Takite Pare. If you call in such a way, that irresistible call will force Mother Shyama to come. The art of mewing like a kitten. But in our case, ours is artificial calls. Meow, meow, like that we do. But mother says, it is not the call of the kitten, it is the call of the rogue. Imitating, it is a mimicry. So when we mimic the kitten, mother cat can easily understand. But when kitten really wants, then it calls. And that is an irresistible, infallible call of the kitten. And the motherly heart is just touched by it. She can't resist. Sri Ramakrishna says, when the child will call like that, shouting and weeping and wailing, mother will not be able to resist. She leaves everything in the kitchen, comes running and first lifts the child, kisses the child, pacifies it, gives something to eat, and then it's quiet. So, though at the outset it looks Marjara Nyaya is very, very simple, how much effort do you have that longing to call on the mother? Is it not? So the longing brings forth the entire effort on the psychic realm of ours. The whole heart and the mind must long. I see lagi lagan. How Mirabai got this. Meera ho gai magan. Totally engrossed. Meera Rani Diwani Kahane Lagi Aisi Lagi Lagan. People called her madcap. She is a Rani, but she has become Diwani. How many of us are willing to be called as mad? Is it not? It's a worthy question, is it not? Sri Ramakrishna never bothered about who called him mad. He became mad. So Meera Rani Diwani Kahane Lagi Oto Gali Gali Hariguna Gane Lagi Aisi Lagi Lagan. So ferocious was the flow of her mind. It says Meera Sarita Sagarme Samane Lagi. A river Meera entered into the sea of Krishna consciousness. Ultimately she lost. Vishika Pyala Ranane Veja Pivat Meera Hasire. She never complained, Krishna, should you not have sent me Nandini milk? Why did you send this poison through Rana? She took it and it became Amrita. So the art of resigning and surrendering without any murmur, it requires a tremendous capacity of titiksha. Not only titiksha, it's crossing the titiksha, no response. No response to control or assuage the sufferings of the mind. Whatever sufferings come, har kashtako ishtaka prasad samajkar swadishta roopse khaliya bhaktane. Whatever kashta, it is ishtaka swadishta prasad. Tasty, delicious prasad from Krishna took it. The famous saint Tirunavakarasar in Tamil Nadu. He was also tortured by the king. But with great smiling face, he took all the tortures. He was put in the lime kiln and he came out without any boil on the body. So it is happening in the lives of devotees. There is a total psychological transformation inside. Blotting out of the doership. He clearly understands he is a doer, and when he is a doer, results also belong to the doer, not to me. But in our case, what happens? Though we consider God as the person who is doing, we somehow want the results for us. And that too, when the results are good, it is ours. And when results are not favorable and negative, it goes to God. Kitten never has this choice. Simply accepts. Sri Ramakrishna gives a funny, humorous example like this, where there is a combination of these two approaches. A man was having a hut on the hill slope, and one day he found a great cyclone coming, and the house was to be blown out. He was praying loudly, "Oh God, protect me," but the wind was gathering more and more speed. And he told, "Oh Varuna Devata, Ramachandra is inside this house. Prabhu Ramachandra, please save the house." But he found one or two leaves started blowing from the roof. "Hello Varuna Devata, don't do it. Lakshmana is staying in this house. At least take care of him." Nothing. Few more leaves started flying. Then told, "Your son Varuna Devata, Hanuman, Pavanaputra Hanuman is staying there. At least have some consideration for him." Then the whole house blew away. And Sri Ramakrishna says, ultimately told, "Salar gor chole geche." Rascal's house, it was blown away and he came back quietly. So it's a beautiful combination. First, he made an effort to pray to God. God didn't listen. Then he told, "Rascal's house, it has gone, let it go." How beautifully he reconciled the psychological disaster, is it not? Suppose if he had not accepted, he would have started beautiful poem on God, cursing him, criticizing him, blaming him. So this Marjara Nyaya, it requires tremendous psychological effort. To do is easy. To do a thing, something is easy, because it satisfies, nourishes our ego, and we get puffed up. "Oh, something I have done, is it not? Right or wrong, that is another thing, but I have done it." That "I have done," that is one of the most intoxicating liquor. But here, don't do anything. Not doing is one of the most difficult thing. Yet waiting for the result to come. So the mewing of the cat is an extraordinary psychic talent, psychological talent, where we are totally resigning and waiting for the God to act. And when God acts, whatever he does, it must be fully accepted by us without any murmur. Then only the stotra Sarva Mangala Mangalya becomes appropriate when we pray. Otherwise, we pray Sarva Mangala Mangalye Shive Sarvartha Sadike. And God says, "I have done it for your favor only." But we don't accept it. In the life of Ramakrishna, I have told this incident in the last visit also, such an event takes place and people misinterpret the intentions of God as per their limited vision and intentions. Lakshmi Didi was a great favorite of Sri Ramakrishna, and as her marriage was arranged and it was informed to Sri Ramakrishna that Lakshmi Didi is going to be married, "Oh, she is going to become a widow." And Hridayaram was shell-shocked. He told, "Mama, is this the Mangala Vachana you are uttering for Lakshmi? When somebody is going to be married, we pray for her goodness, auspicious things to come. And moment we told, and your words are so dangerous, never it will fail. And she is going to become a widow, what you have done, Mama?" And Sri Ramakrishna told, "I have not done anything, Jagadamba herself is talking. But still, for Lakshmi, should you bestow such words? And he told, yes, she will become a widow. Then suddenly goes into that ecstatic trance and he says, Mother herself has spoken, if Lakshmi marries a man from this earth and leads a family life, disaster will come to her. She is a Sheetala Devi's Amsha. Shiva alone can lead a married life with her. If she leads a married life with a human being of this earth, all the chain, series of karma will come and she will have a disastrous life. And she married and the husband died. She became a widow. For the worldly people, it looks very bad, ill omen. But Sri Ramakrishna, who could see behind the events of life, behind the screen of this mundane life, he understood that that was a danger. And what appeared like a curse, it became a benefit, a blessing for us, her. So many times in our life, when we start resigning to God and something appears, we think, oh God, what a curse it is, what a thing we have sinned. But in the long time, as we wait, suddenly we find the same thing becomes a blessing. Is it not? In a hurry, in a haste, we make decisions. God never decides in haste or hurry. That is the mentality to wait and watch and to accept things as they are coming, as Krishna tells in the Gita. God himself does the yoga kshema. So if you are supposed to get some dukkha, God will bring it only for your benefit. That everything that is happening to us, when we have resigned to God, we must transform the mind into that state where the unquestioning ability has to be developed. Yes, it is all happening because of God. When sorrow comes, misery comes, anguish comes, agony comes, take it, oh Lord, what a wonderful thing you have done to me. Definitely you are not a fool. You must have superior intelligence, otherwise why it will come to me? Of all the people, why I should suffer? That question can be turned. Of all the people, why I should suffer? Because God is taking care of me. So he is giving this suffering to me. He has given lot of sufferings to the caterpillar inside the cocoon, is it not? A boy thought, who was taught in the botany class, that the cocoon carries the caterpillar inside and the caterpillar has to make lots of efforts to break that cocoon and come out. Out of great sympathy, when the teacher was inside to bring some more butterflies, the boy took a stick and broke the shell of the cocoon and the larva, it came out. And it fell on the ground and he jumped with joy and told, teacher, today I have done an act of kindness. I have broken the prison walls of this caterpillar. Now it will develop wings and it will fly. I have set the road for freedom to this creature. And after 1 hour in the hot sunlight, the worm died without becoming a butterfly. The teacher told, what a thing you have done. God is more merciful than you. In the very process of breaking the cocoon, there is a chemical secretion which brings the wings to the butterfly. So God had provided that technique so that slowly doing like this, as the caterpillar or the larva, worm inside will hit the shell, it will break and in the process, the very effort will develop wings and as soon as it is broken, the butterfly will take to wings. So in our life also, as we take up the marjara nyaya, the ability to unquestioningly accept the happenings, events of life must be developed. So that is the marjara nyaya, where the surrender has got its totality. Slowly we have to develop, cultivating the habit of offering everything to God. Joy comes, offer to God. Misery comes, offer to God. Failure, success, good, bad, everything. Develop a tendency first by orally telling it, Sri Krishna Arpanamastu, Lord, I accept whatever you give. And slowly you will find there is a great change in the psychological field of our personality. That's why the Indian rishis, genius as they were, produced temples. Standing in front of the stone image, a man says, oh Krishna, unbearable, unbearable, Muruga, what you have done? And in the very process of shouting in front of Muruga or Krishna, the psychological pressure eases out. Otherwise he would have gone mad. Or psychic analyst or psychiatrist would have taken lots of money from him. He puts 10 rupees in the hundil, gets a psychological treatment, comes out, little Muruga, wonderful, one coconut, enough. Is it not? We can do it. This is a brilliant method from our rishis. Go to Lord, shout at him, talk to him, express everything. And then ultimately you told Lord, it is you who are doing, okay, whatever you have chosen, I accept it. Not with a sense of failure, but with a sense of fulfillment and strength. Okay, Lord, I understand that I can't understand. And I understand that you can understand everything better than me. So I accepted it. Let me see what is going to happen afterwards. Recently, I had an incident about Subramaniam Swami. Somebody questioned him, what is success and failure? It was very difficult to define it. He told, I was in IIT Guindy, and one of the prime minister, whose financial policies I criticized, in a wrong method, illegally, she forced me to be suspended and she removed me. And because of that punishment, being removed, suspended and terminated from IIT Guindy, I learned Chinese economy. And now I am a very famous well-to-do man, earning a lot. And then, few years before, that prime minister had passed away, I filed a court case against IIT and I won the case because it was a wrong termination and suspension, and I am going to be awarded 3 crores for the whole years of my service. Had I worked in IIT for whole life, I could not have got 3 crores. Now I got that, I am getting this famous popularity in the whole country by fighting all these cases. At that time I thought it was bitterness. I resigned to God. Now I think it is not bitter but better. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname amrutopamam. Beginning it looked very bitter, and we are all unwilling to have bitter capsules. We all want sugar-coated capsules, is it not? So that inner observation will reveal to us that though in the outset, lingually, language-wise, the marjara nyaya appears to be easy, it's not easy to practice. But once we have stuck to it, there is a great joy. Manikavasaka, the great Shaiva saint, says, it is like the ride on the boat. Up to the boat, you have to go and take the ticket. Once you entered the boat, finished. Ha! Relax now. Now God will ride the boat. The other approach is the Markata Nyaya, and Manikavasaka says that is a ladder approach. One is Eni, the other one is Thoni. Thoni is the boat approach, which is the Marjara Nyaya. Go and enter into the boat, that's all. The boatman will take you. You need not have to row the boat. Just sit, relax, enjoy, and the very speed of the wind will take the boat. And the other one is the ladder, but then going to the boat, booking a ticket and entering, that requires lots of effort, is it not? The tendency, the inclination, the willingness all have to come, and then we have to mew in such a way that the cat must be forced to come and pick up. And after picked up by the cat, we must be ready to be placed anywhere. It may place us in the kitchen, or it may place us on a tree, on a gutter, anywhere it will place. At that time, we should be ready for that. Whereas in the Markata Nyaya, the man starts at damn to God. I will myself do whatever has to be done. He starts climbing. The ladder is there. Why not climb? That's a masculine approach, heroic effort. But there also dangers are there. In the effort, if there is any fallacy, suddenly you can fall down. And then you have to search out the ladder. Step by step you have to proceed. Like the monkey, the grip. And the sadhaka's life, the proverbial monkey grip. It's called Kuranga Pidi. Infallible grip. But difficult to grip because we are gripping so many things at a time. And not only God, we are gripping hundreds of things in this world. So the grip becomes loosened. If you really watch, do we grip God alone? Are you gripping God alone? Inside the mind, in a hidden way, we are gripping so many things. We are holding on to so many things. But when the monkey child catches the mother, The grip is so powerful, single powerful, unfailing hold. But in our case, any tempting thing comes, we hold that also. And suddenly the grip goes. So there is a danger of our grip getting loosened. Sri Ramakrishna gives an example of the two children. One child held by the father, another child holding the hands of the father. Suddenly it saw a kite or something and he started clapping. The boy who was clapping, he was holding the father's hand. As he started clapping, he lost the grip. And as he was walking on the bund of a field, suddenly he fell down. And we also fall so many times, is it not? Once in Kuala Lumpur, a lady told, "Swami, I am a regular devotee." I told, "Is it so?" "Well, yes, I am a regular devotee." I told, "2 years I have never seen your face even a single time." "No, 3.5 years before I used to come." I told, "Then how do you become a regular devotee? So last 3.5 years you have never come, yet because so many other things have caught hold of her." Then we had our committee, and very important VIPs were in the committee. One day I asked one of the important members, "Why did you not come to the committee meeting?" She told, "There are many other important organizations where I am a member." "Oh, that means this is not an important organization." The next meeting I told, "Your name is not in the list." "Why, Swami?" I told, "There are important organizations where you have to attend, so I thought better you don't attend the unimportant organizations. Let me give place to another person. You are holding on to so many things at a time. It is impossible. Everywhere you may be telling the same reason. Maybe you are not going to any place according to your convenience, and you will tell that I have got a meeting in that organization, I have a meeting in that organization, this organization, and you may be whiling away your time, yet holding a place in all the organization and showing to outsiders, I am a member of Ramakrishna Mission. And it has got its own value, is it not? And our devotees also have this Aadhaar card. I am initiated in Ramakrishna Math. And they will come to any center. Maharaj, I am initiated by Gambhiranji. Can I stay in the guest house?" So hundreds of holes are there. But for the monkey, nothing. It doesn't bother, care about God or the mother. It says, "I will hold. Why trouble God?" He says, "Foolish kitten," goes on shouting, and mother has to come all the way running and pick the kitten and go. What a cruel fellow. Why should we give so much trouble to God? "God, I will climb the ladder. You be there as you are. I will climb and come there." That's a showing kindness on God himself. That's an extraordinary attitude. It is not that we can show kindness, but an unusual consideration. He says, "Oh Lord, you wait there. I will come. You are so honorable. You are so majestic, so important. Should I make you walk and come down the ladder? You have provided the ladder, the intelligence and the legs for me. I will climb and come up." And the sense of doership, it is acting there. Sri Ramakrishna says, the breeze of God's grace is constantly blowing, but the manly effort to unfurl the sails are necessary. So this markata nyaya, this unfurling the sails by continuous constant effort is being done, exhausting the sense of doership. At the last state, when he will really find that nothing is happening, from the bottom of his heart, he will shout, "Oh Lord!" And then Lord will say, "Yes, I am here, just look." And we will find that Lord is just near us. But sometimes, just at the nick of the moment when the effort is going to bear fruit, we may lose confidence, we may lose patience. And the same thing happened with Bhadrachala Ramdasa. He was doing Abhishekam. 1,000 kumbhas were to be offered, water of 1,000 kalashas. And he was to have Ramadarshana. 999 kalashas he had done Abhishekam. And Rama did not come. The 1,000th one, he should have done it, simply banged it on the linga. And he could not get it. For one, you fail. Impatience. "I am the doer, I must get." But it's finished the 1,000th Abhishekam also. So in the Bhadrachala Ramdasa story, we find this. The last moment, it can happen to us. So there the presence of the ego expecting the results of the effort is constantly waiting, and God says, give it up. The effort has to be done judiciously without expecting the results thereof. Results are in the hands of God. Yours is to do the effort. That one is not working. Do the effort, and then you will find that depending on the sincerity, the eligibility, God will be forced to come. That is where the combination, Sri Ramakrishna says, Dakar Matan Dakile. If you call in such a way that calling mother is the effort, mother will come and pick up, but for that you have to put effort. And for the monkey, there is one benefit, that till monkey catches, mother will not carry. Monkey child will not be put here and there. Is it not? Until the monkey catches, mother also will not run. And once the monkey catches, the kitten catches the mother's belly, that monkey will not jump in a reckless way. Is it not? Have you seen when a child is holding and the monkey, mother monkey is jumping, it will never, I have seen in Khetri Ashrama, that monkey will never jump in such a way that the child will fall down. It is also taking care. But there is a danger that, as we said, if the hold, the grip, and if you lose attention like the boy, suddenly the grip goes. It rarely happens. And the other child who was on the shoulder of the father, he was clapping and he didn't fall down. So Sri Ramakrishna says, both these efforts are to be combined in our life. Pray, surrender, and along with the surrender, go on doing the effort also. In the process of doing the effort, the karta aham, I am the doer sense, will slowly get erased out. And as soon as the doership gets erased out, deleted, then suddenly you will find that God is waiting there at the doorstep to give the fruits. So in these two approaches, we find two different divergent tendencies. One is to expect God to do, and another is to do what God expects us to do. In one, the kitten is waiting for God, and in the monkey, he is not waiting for God. He is doing whatever is to be done, and then as soon as the God comes, or before God comes, he does everything and finishes, and he is also waiting. So both the cases, effort also is required, and then the divine grace also is required. So kitten Marjara and the monkey Markata, these two tendencies are to be combined. As per the time, place and situation, we have to use it in a combined forceful way. Some situations we will not be able to fight out. Then we pray to God. Oh God, take care of it. Where it is possible to fight it out. So this is a approach, face the brute. Swamiji says, fight out. And once you have fought out and the whole energy level is raised, really God comes, and sincerely when it is done, we will find the mysterious law of spirituality works and the divine grace descends. So Sri Ramakrishna's method is combining surrender and self-effort and then leaving it to God. Like Mohammed told, somebody was in his camp, and as they alighted on the place where they have to do the camping, the tents were erected, and he asked, where is the camel? And the assistant told, Allah ke bharose chod diya oont ko. Believing, surrendering to Allah, I left the camel. Prophet Muhammad told, pahle bandho oont ko, fir Allah ke bharose mein chodo. First tie the camel and then leave it to Allah's grace. So Swami was there, and a lady came. Swami, I asked for your blessings for the recovery of my husband. Have you blessed my husband? And Swami told, I asked you to take him to the doctor. Have you done it? Well, no. That is the result that my blessings are not working. My blessings will work the moment you take your husband to the doctor. First take him to the doctor, do the self-effort, and then surrender. So the human fallacy, the defect in our system is that in both the cases, we do part of it. We don't do wholehearted total effort, nor do we wholeheartedly surrender. Sri Ramakrishna's message is wholeheartedly make effort and then surrender. Tie the camel, do the self-effort, and then leave it to the grace of God. So the great Samanvayacharya in his life, tremendous effort he put, is it not? What Herculean effort he had put, 12 long years. And when Swami Vivekananda was passing through that great cyclonic effect on the mind, Sri Ramakrishna says, it is not even 1/10 of the cyclone that went through my personality. So terrific effort, and along with that, Sri Ramakrishna is constantly depending on God. So that is the culmination of spiritual practice, where we combine the kitten's approach and also the monkey child's approach, and that is a unified approach of Sri Ramakrishna. So in our life, according to the time, place, person, situation, put forth the manly effort. Where it is not possible, pray to the Lord, and whatever be the results, accept it. That is the sane, logical way of living. Jai Ramakrishna. Tomorrow morning, 9:30, there is a class, and evening 5:30 to 6:30, there is a class till 17th July. Hari Om.